Welcome back to Pound for Pound. I'm your host, Andrew Crenary, WFUV's home for all things combat sports. I'm here with my co-hosts, Riley Lucas and Madi Dembele. Finally got the full crew back together. It is a bit of a slow week here. We just had Kaikara France versus Samir Albazi. That's in the books. We're going to get into that and also some announcements in the boxing world. But before that, how are you guys doing?
I'll let you go first, Madi. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. I'm sorry, guys. All right. Well, MIA again, but I'm back. You know, life is it's a trip, but it's always good to talk MMA and boxing with Riley and Andrew. So I'm happy to be here as always.
I mean, same for me. It's been a while since we've been reunited, and although it's a short episode today, I think it'll be fun to chat it up with you guys.
Yeah, no, I think there's definitely some fun topics to hit upon. I know Madi is very, very happy to get into some boxing news later on. We'll definitely let him take the floor for that. But I think it's definitely looking at the past couple of weeks for the UFC, it looks like they're definitely building up to UFC 289, which is going to be next Saturday. We're going to save most of our preview for next week's episode. But yeah, no, just jumping right into it. UFC Fight Night for this past Saturday. Like I said, Kaikara France versus Amir Albazi. Amir Albazi gets the split decision win over five rounds. Very close fight. What do you guys think about this fight? Personally, I thought it could have gone either way. Personally, it might have gone Kaikara France's way. I know I saw Israel Adesanya on Twitter talking about it, being a little upset. But how did you guys score the fight? Do you think Kaikara France won? Do you think Albazi won? And why?
I'm not going to lie. I think that it could have went to Kaikara France. And mainly, it's just so hard because I feel like we've had so many controversial fights recently in UFC and boxing. I mean, we had the whole thing with Devin Haney, yada, yada, yada. So it's really hard to score these super close fights. But over the course of the five rounds, I mean, I just felt like Kaikara France and his offense came on top. I think at least maybe most of the fight he had it tied up. And then I think in that last round that, you know, he landed a lot of punches, Kaikara France. And although I think it easily could have went both ways, I still would have scored it Kaikara France just because I think he did a little bit better on that last round.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think his offense came in really, really late. And I think he took the last round to convince the judges. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they didn't give him the decision. And again, you said that we've been having a lot of close fights, like eerily so. But in my opinion, I would have given it to Kaikara France. A lot of weird stuff have been going on, a lot against my favor. But yeah, I would have given it to Kaikara France. Really, really close fight. And congrats to both fighters.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a very, very competitive fight. And also, I think, like, it really validated Albazi in the top of this flyweight division with Kaikara France being such a tough guy going up, you know, against the likes of Hargeir Bantarin and also, like, a Brandon Moreno, who's the current champ. So I think him beating Kaikara France does a whole lot for him in this division, even though it was a close, very close fight. But looking at the scorecards, or actually the significant strike stats, 99 significant strikes out of 283 total thrown for Kaikara France versus Amir Albazi, who threw 40 or landed 43 significant strikes and threw 145. It definitely seemed like in those later rounds, Kaikara France was starting to pick up the pressure, which is pretty known for guys from City Kickboxing like Israel Adesanya or a couple other guys, where they start to pick up and find the rhythm later into the fight. But like you guys were saying, I feel like it was a little too little too late, honestly, for Kaikara France. I felt like he kind of found his groove in those fourth and fifth rounds, and Albazi was just able to bank those early rounds, and I think that led to the decision.
Well, it's funny, too, though, because in terms of, you know, not to jump into boxing, but with what happened with Devin Haney, it was almost the opposite, because he pulled through with the win, but it was because he really picked up in that last round. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what caught the judges' attention. So to see this, but work in the opposite way, where he really kind of picked it up towards the end, but the judges still didn't rule in his favor, it is weird to see almost. It's just hard because I know they're, you know, that's boxing, this is UFC, but when it's so close like this, it's almost really like painful. You just really don't know what's to come. And it does just really matters the judge at that point.
Yeah, yeah, and
Riley, I
could definitely see the parallels between boxing and the UFC, two completely different sports. But I think the most important thing is now, from what the fights we've been seeing, you want to start off strong. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of guys that start off, like, if I think of boxing, like Gervonta Davis starts off slow. Like, I think this is more so of an initiative to start off stronger, because you'll get those instances where it's too much, mm-hmm. too rather and too late. Again, he picked it up really well in that last round, and I thought that would have pushed him over the edge, but obviously it wasn't enough for the judges.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, just going from here, I could definitely see Kai Kara France getting another fight in the top five, considering how close this fight was, especially taking on a newcomer in Albazi, which a lot of fighter or a lot of, you know, close fight fans are following him. They don't honestly know he's come up very quick in the scene. So him taking such a dangerous fight in Albazi, I could definitely see him getting another top five very quick, especially since he didn't take too much damage. But Albazi, I feel like he must be on top of the world here. I mean, I could see maybe another contender fight before he fights Moreno. And if he's really successful in that contender fight, I could be real excited for what he could possibly do against Moreno, because he does have a very interesting skill set that could contest against Moreno's really strong grappling. So that could be really, really fun to watch.
You know, this kind of sort of reminds me of, I don't know if you guys remember Johnny Hendricks versus, was it GSP? And Dana wasn't happy afterwards because he thought the decision should have swung in the other way. It's something like that. For a guy like Albazi, I think his next fight is going to have to be more convincing, the same way that I feel about Devin Haney, which we'll get to later. I don't think it was an exclamation mark. So I think, therefore, his next fight before he gets to the animal that is Brandon Moreno, it's going to have to be something a bit more convincing just for me.
I forgot that you weren't here when we talked Devin Haney.
I wasn't. I wasn't.
We're gonna save that for later. We
Yes,
have
we
a
are.
I want to have Madi get out his opinions on the decision and all that stuff. Maybe Riley can defend Devin Haney a little bit.
Get out real quick.
But one last fight I do want to touch upon before we kind of move on from this UFC fight night is Jim Miller still getting it done despite being one of the oldest tenured fighters. We were originally going to record this yesterday before the fights, and I said, in my talking points, I was like, is Miller going to continue to build on his record of most wins in the UFC? And as we can see, he got that knockout finish. Now he holds, or he continues to hold, the most wins in UFC at 25. And on top of that, I believe he is second in most finishes in the UFC also, only second to Charles Oliveira. So, what a performance by Jim Miller, especially a New Jersey native so close to our WFUV studio. Did you guys watch this fight, and what do you like from it?
23 seconds. I mean, that was crazy. There wasn't really a fight to watch. I mean, it was over it really fast. I stayed up for it. I was like, you know, I just gotta watch it, be ready for tomorrow. We're gonna talk about it. I was a little exhausted, and then after it went away in 23 seconds, I'm like, you know, it was bittersweet. I was happy, but at the same time, I was like, this is it. It's over.
A10, they call him A10. I believe he also holds the most records for most bouts in the UFC, if I'm not, yeah, most wins in the lightweight division. And his brother Dan Miller, like, he comes from a long lineage of UFC fight. Like, doing it at 40 years old to get rid of a guy that quick, I mean kudos to him. And you know, you always see like the oldest fighters, like, I would love to see Jorge Masvidal still stick around. And I would love to see I forget his name. His name is what is it? Kida. I forget his name as of the moment, but you always want to see like the older fighters stick around. This is a treat. Certainly a treat.
And I mean, I think that's what's so fun about this, because I feel like more often than not, you see like one of your favorite fighters get a little bit older and then they start to drop off, and they're never really the same as how they used to be. They lose a step, and it's just it's a little sad watching them in that like deteriorated state. But as we could see with Jim Miller, I mean, he still looks as good as ever at 40 years old, which is insane to me. And grappling, and also what he just showed in this fight, he still got power in his hands too.
No, I mean, not only was it impressive for Miller for me, but I think just Jesse Butler in general was like a complete moron in this instance, because you know he really came in swinging for the fences, which is could be fine, but just not up against Jim Miller. And that really only allowed for him to just return with like more power and better accuracy. And then he got him against the cage, and he has that brutal left hook, and it just finished the deal. And it just 23 seconds is crazy. It was just wild.
Insane.
But I
One
mean,
of the
good for Jim
fastest in
Miller.
shoot. Yeah.
I mean, just I guess that he's got to go back to the lab and learn not to bum rush a veteran like that, because I've seen that so many times where a newcomer is kind of going up against like an aging veteran. They're like, all right, I'm just going to bum rush the guy, go all out in that first round. And a lot of times it doesn't work out if you can't get him out in that first 15, 30 seconds. And obviously it went the complete opposite way for Jesse Butler. Jim Miller getting that win, huge win for that. And one of my favorite moments from this fight night. But moving on though, I do want to touch upon some boxing news. Obviously, we had our whole Devin Haney special episode last week, where Riley waxed on, waxed off, talked all about her love for Devin Haney, how he won the fight. And I mean, she kind of convinced me, I'm not going to lie, but I do want to hear what Mahdi has to say. He wasn't in that episode. So Mahdi, how'd you see that fight? And did Devin Haney get the win over Lomachenko?
Let me tell you something. A few days after recording that episode, I went on 1&1 and I had the same conversation with Chaz McAdams. Shout out to Chaz McAdams.
I want to say something really quick. He commented on the WFUV Sports TikTok of me talking about Devin Haney.
He did. He did. He's awesome. And he actually picked Loma for the veteran experience and whatnot.
I can tell.
Yeah. And I picked Devin Haney. I think we were all in lockstep because I said he was the next face up. I think right now the big names, if you think about boxing, obviously Tyson Fury, Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford, their best pound for pound Canelo. I said the best young boxer was going to be Devin Haney, and he was going to put the exclamation mark on a guy like Lomachenko, who's a legend. His reputation is somewhat tarnished off of a fight that he should have never lost, but Haney's going to come in and put the hands on him. Devin Haney didn't convince me all the way. What I saw, particularly in the earlier rounds, I saw Lomachenko take up his space, and he looked like the bigger boxer. He looked like the aggressor. And I said that was what was going to win this fight. I said timely Russian was going to win this fight. And though he got the decision, I can't say it was convincing. Like, I could see a universe where Loma won. I think now what the situation that Devin Haney's in is, it's a place where he has to give me that oomph. I need that emphatic win. And this time it's going to be against Shakur Stevenson, who's not 35 looking to get back, who's also looking for the same spot as Devin Haney. He's a show. So Devin Haney, congrats on the win. It's against Vasily Lomachenko, who's one of the best ever. But the next fight's going to be tougher, and you're going to have to put an exclamation mark on this guy.
Do I even need to comment on this?
I mean...
So, Riley, do you agree, disagree? Because, I mean, I have my own personal viewpoint. And I think, Mahdi, you do hit on a great point. I think that the real test for Devin Haney and a real showing for him will be in that Shakur Stevenson fight, which I'm very, very excited for.
Yeah.
But Riley, I agree. I agree with that statement. I don't agree with what Mahdi said. I do think it was a very close fight. If it went to Loma, I wouldn't have been, like, super shocked.
Yeah.
I still think it went to Haney. I think Haney had at least rounds 2, 3, 5, 6, 9, 12. just a couple. I think it really was that last round that sealed that deal, though. And I think that's kind of what I mentioned earlier. It's just that was really what captivated for me and caught the judges' opinions, or caught the judges, you know, to feel that he won that. And I think, you know, a lot of people just weren't paying attention to his body shots. You know, a lot, you don't realize how many he landed during that fight. And then you really go back and watch, and he had a lot that he creeped in there and he snuck up on Loma. I think obviously that's what sealed the deal. If you look at how many punches landed per volume, Haney had more than Loma, just throwing that out there. I do think it was close, though. I didn't completely agree with the scoring either way, though. I think Dave Moretti is a complete moron. And that's me thinking that Haney still won. I think that it was a lot that was wrong in that fight, but the one thing I will say is right is that Haney won. I think he edged it. I don't think it was a complete takeover. I will say, though, that I did mention to Andrew, you know, bias aside, I still think it wasn't the best showing for Haney. And I even said I'm a little more nervous for Shakur, if anything. A little bit. I can't lie. I was expecting more from Haney. I still think he did come out on top. I still think he was a better fighter. But now with this future Shakur fight that, you know, I'm hoping is announced soon, I am a little nervous.
Right. And I'm just talking about the optics here. Either way, both men, I can see a universe where they both win. But it's like, Devin, I expected a statement.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here statement. And I don't know if Shakur is that easy as a fight as Loma was. Mm-hmm. Not to say that Loma's an easy fight, but Shakur's a show. Shakur's a show. So Devin's got to get ready. And if he wants the next team of boxing, he got to get it. He got to get it against Shakur.
Yeah,
I mean, and I think that was the thing that led Devin to win this fight, was a good game plan, which if he does implement against Shakur, I think that could really help him out. But Lomachenko also, you know, kind of on the downturn of his career versus Stevenson, who is pretty much in his prime now. So it's a fighter who's already in his prime.
Well, I mean,
fighting against, yeah.
Well, I was just gonna say, I think you said it perfectly because you said, you know, his game plan is what won him that fight. And I think that's the one thing I could say for Devin Haney is he switched a lot of things up. He's not known for body shots like that. And I think he knew that's what he needed to get the win over Loma. He had to really utilize that. I think he also took a page out of Tank's book because that's what won him that Ryan Garcia fight. And then aside from that, you know, he had to look to Lopez and Ortiz and see, like, how do I defeat Loma? So I think he made a lot of changes to help win that fight. I think he also kept Loma at bay, which was a really big issue that we were worried about. Is Devin going to be able to do that? That's not something he's really amazing at. And I think that's one thing he made some changes. He grasped that. I still don't think it was the best showing, but if he's capable of making switch-ups like that, I'm sure he'll be able to do the same for Shakur Stevenson.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think it's funny that you say he was taking notes from Gervonta Davis in that fight against Ryan Garcia. Obviously had a lot of success in that fight. Has gotten himself in a bit of hot water. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. But on the same night as Haney versus Lomachenko, we finally got a big announcement in the boxing world. I know Mahdi can barely hold back saying anything right now. Errol Spence Jr. versus Terrence Crawford scheduled for July 29th at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. As a boxing fan myself, I've been waiting for this fight for so long, so long. 4 years, I know. I see Mahdi in the camera putting up the four. 4 years after that, you know, terrible car crash with Errol Spence Jr. that kind of put the whole fight on the back burner while he kind of worked his way back from his injury, took a couple, you know, tune-up fights. But Terrence Crawford has been legitimately one of the best fighters on the planet, arguably probably one of the pound-for-pound fighters, if not the best currently. So this fight finally coming together with Errol Spence Jr. finally back into his prime. I cannot wait for this fight. I'm so excited. Mahdi, what do you got to say about this?
I can't
I
stop
mean,
smiling.
I can't stop smiling. I mean, when you talk about now, like, I know Haney and Shakur, they're coming up, but when you talk about now, it's Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence. Like, in the history of like welterweights fights, you got like Sugar Ray Leonard versus Tommy Hearns. Tommy Hearns going up against Roberto Duran, who's one of my all-time favorite, toughest fighter ever. Aaron Pryor versus Alexis Aguero. Like, this fight is like that. Like, these two guys, like, are Terrence Crawford, right? Three division world champion. He's probably like the most avoided fighter in boxing. I believe 30 of his 39 wins came by knockout, and he's on pace to overtake Floyd Mayweather for that. He's held WBO titles since 2018. He's re regarded as the pound for pound best, like unified junior welterweight divisions, winning all four major titles in 2017. Like, I could go on about that dude. And on the other side, Errol Spence, like, glad to see him back from that car accident. True welterweight. He's about 28 fights in, 22 wins by KO. He unified welterweight champion, WBC, IBF. Like, this is the mega fight. Two guys really in their prime to unify the titles for the king of the welterweight. It's almost like Hearns and Hagler for king of the middleweights. It's like that. I was watching Max Kellerman today, right? Max Kellerman, Mr. Boxing himself. And he rem it kind of remind he said it reminds him kind of like Pacquiao and like Mayweather. And you think about it, it's like two guys who like could make the real fight, but it was past their prime. But Errol Spence, in much of the way that Ryan Garcia did, Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford went out of their way, cut out the middleman, and said, let's make this fight happen. Because that's a big problem in boxing. You have a bunch of managers who make fights and stall them for a long time, which is why people give so much credit to Dana and the UFC. These two guys went out of their way to make the biggest fight of probably the next 5 years happen. And I'm so excited. Like, this is gonna be like that. I can't stop. Go ahead, guys.
No, it's just so funny to me because right before Haney, we recorded and I was all excited. I had my Haney shirt on. Like, that was my Super Bowl. And you even said, because I asked you, I'm like, how do you feel about this fight? And you're like, I'm not going to be happy till we see Terrence Crawford. Like, that's going to be my moment. And literally the next day, we get the announcement. I was thinking to myself, I'm like, oh my goodness. And then we haven't talked since. So this is the first time I'm getting to see your excitement in full.
Man, I'm gonna have to get like, and I love them, but maybe an Errol Spence shirt and a Terrence Crawford like hat, maybe. I don't know.
Rep both guys equally. I
Both
like it.
guys equally, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could get behind that, but.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even want to go in the way of early predictions. If you guys got something in your mind, feel free to get it off. But personally, for me, I'm just excited to see how this matchup plays out because both of these guys, like I said, they're finally in their prime. Technically, some of the best boxers on the planet. And it's going to be a 12-round bout. This is going to be a full title championship bout. I cannot wait. I'm so excited. I cannot. I mean, like, literally, since I got into combat sports, I've been hearing about this fight as like a dream fight to make. and to hear it finally confirmed and so close to, oh my God, I cannot wait. Yeah. I'm so excited.
I mean, we'll definitely get into it before we'll have a whole episode dedicated to this. So I don't want to go too in depth, but I will say I am pulling for Terrence Crawford. I just think his jab rate alone with, you know, Spence's damaged retina is a recipe for disaster. And I think that's going to work in Terrence's favor. So I'm going for my boy here. I'm not sorry.
All right. All right. I like the early prediction. I like it.
I'll leave that for now, but just know I think that jab rate and that retina is game over.
Okay.
Yeah, no, definitely. And the last thing in terms of boxing news, Gervonta Davis taken into custody this Thursday. He has been ordered to spend the remainder of his 90-day sentence in jail, which links back to a whole litany of things that he got involved with. But off the back of that, we were just talking weeks ago about how Davis, with his win over Ryan Garcia, how he could legitimately be the new face of boxing. With this, though, I mean, he's just proving to me that he hasn't changed since that fight at all.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I'm hoping this, again, is just a bump in the road. It's, you know, I saw that the reason he is in jail is just because of the location he was doing this house arrest. Obviously, you know, he still should have just listened. I feel like that's such an easy thing. Like he said, he was staying at Calvin Ford's house. It was the perfect setup. I'm sure he has a great home. He could have, you know, been training this whole time, kept up, and he just had to go to the Four Seasons. He just had to go live at the Four Seasons, and then he got caught, and now he's spending the remainder of his house arrest behind bars. So I believe that adds up to like 2 months. But still, it's like, it's just such an easy thing. All you have to do is stay somewhere for 2 months. It's still a beautiful home. You're training. You're kept up. You got people working for you. You're a millionaire. I'm sure you're still living in luxury. It's disappointing to see. I'm hoping that this isn't, you know, him going back down that path of trouble. I'm hoping this is the peak of his nonsense, but we have the future to see.
Yeah, I personally think he should be okay. Like, obviously, it's stupid. Like, you're coming off a huge win. You probably have, like, money out the wazoo. Just relax, dude. You're fine. Yeah.
You should be happy to stay home and relax.
Yeah, stay home.
You got, like, I'm sure, like, Calvin Ford's house can't be that bad.
Yeah, Calvin Ford.
The Four Seasons is great.
The Four Seasons. That's what I'm saying. Like, for a person of his stature, he must be on top of the planet. He's so rich. He just won his grudge match against the guy he's been calling out for 3 years. Literally, all you have to do is just sit pretty in your nice home, enjoy the pool. Yeah. You know, that's like pretty much it. It's so simple. And now, then he managed to screw it up. I can't believe it.
No, and now, you know, after this too, he has to complete 200 hours of community service and a Mothers Against Drunk Driving panel. So I can only imagine if just staying inside for house arrest was too much for him, is he even going to be able to complete the community service and attend this panel? Is that going to be something he's capable of doing? Right now, we don't know if that's possible for Tank, because we can only base off what we've seen here. So I'm hoping he doesn't, you know, ruin his own career, but I think we've seen a lot of boxers in history who have had criminal pasts or, you know, throughout their boxing career, and then they came out on top. I think Mike Tyson's a great example of that. So I'm hoping that this is just a little bump in the road and Tank will be back to being the best.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think we all collectively hope that. But I think it is, you know, worth noting that now he has a whole laundry list of things to do. While during that time, I imagine he's not going to be training or really working out. So we're going to, I'm expecting not to see him fight again maybe the next year or two, which is really disappointing for a guy that's coming off so much momentum.
Mm-hmm.
In his prime as well.
Those jail guys, sometimes they come out ripped. They either come out fat or they come out ripped. So who knows what goes on in there?
Yeah, that is very true. You did bring up Mike Tyson, and he was probably the scariest person I've ever seen in my life coming out of prison when he fought that one. Yeah, where he just obliterated his like next three opponents getting out of jail. So who knows?
This might help him. We don't know. We don't know what's going on in there.
You don't know.
Come out like Mike Tyson or come out fat like Kodak Black. Like, you just really don't know. Nice. So we can only hope it's the Mike Tyson route. That's it.
Nice.
Yeah. Fingers crossed it's Mike Tyson's route. And hopefully also he doesn't get in trouble again, but I think that'll do it for this shortened installment of Pound for Pound. I want to thank my co-host Riley, my co-host Madi, for putting on a great show this Sunday afternoon. Make sure you stay tuned in for this week's episode, where we're going to break down UFC 289, all that good stuff. I'm sure there's going to be some boxing news to talk about, and always, you know, MMA craziness with Dana White. So make sure you stay tuned in for that. I'm Andrew Canary, and thank you for listening to Pound for Pound, and have a great weekend.